right. Well, if you want to get a head start, you can be turning to Matthew chapter 3 tonight. Matthew chapter 3. And I want to continue this series I've been doing on uncovering Satan's plan of evil. We've tracked Satan's plan of evil, his policy of evil, all the way from Genesis, all the way now to the time of Christ. And we said that Satan, we learned last week, God laid out a timeline in the book of Daniel, the prophetic book of Daniel. God laid out a timeline that revealed openly what God was going to do and when he would do it concerning his plan for Israel and the earth. Now, we know that right now Satan's the god of this world, the prince of this world. We know that the world system that's in place here on planet earth is a corrupt system of evil and wickedness. We know that Satan is the one in charge of this world system that's on the earth. We have to function in it. We have to live in it. Right now, we're on our way through, passing through. But we know that that God has a plan to one day depose of Satan as the prince of this world. And God is going to bring his kingdom to this earth. And the channel that he's going to bring it to the earth through, he's going to use the nation of Israel. And so when the New Testament opens up, book of Matthew, you know, when the New Testament opens, most of the allotted years in Daniel's prophecy, most of those allotted years when God said he was going to finish things up and he was going to bring it to an end and he was going to bring his kingdom here and there'd be peace in Jerusalem and all that, well, most of those years had been fulfilled. In fact, I'll bring back up that chart again that I had brought up on Daniel's 70 weeks. And just by way of review here, if I've got my pointer right here, I'm glad I got that. But remember, there were 69 weeks of years. God said 483 years beginning with the decree to rebuild Jerusalem. So Satan is no dummy, and he knew the timeline. So the prophetic program ticks along 400, you know, we've got the time of Christ here, and then when Messiah is cut off there, when he enters in Jerusalem and he's cut off, 483 of the 490 years had been fulfilled. So there were still 7 years, you know, remaining, but we know that when Christ came to the earth and begins his public ministry, Satan knew that those 70 weeks of years were, you know, coming to a screeching halt. He knew that things were coming to a head and that there was going to be a showdown between Satan and between the Messiah. And so, he knows the time has arrived, and God said that when this time came, he would deliver the nation of Israel, depose of the prince of this world, and he would establish the kingdom of heaven on earth in Jerusalem. So the New Testament opens up right here. The New Testament opens up and Messiah is born, right? Messiah is born. The stage is now set for the climactic outworking of God's plan and purpose for this earth and with the nation of Israel. There can be no kingdom until the king shows up. So when Christ began his public ministry, you remember he was 30 years old, all right? So he begins his public ministry at 30 years old, and he begins that ministry right there, smack dab, in the land of Israel. And he began, now when Christ begins, you can go ahead and take the chart down now. He begins to declare who he was, and he also begins to declare why he had come to this earth. So he starts his public ministry at 30 years old. The 70 weeks, man, it's getting close now. Those 490 years, it's getting close. And so Satan knows there's a showdown. And you know all the demonic activity that you read about and all this. Well, it's coming to a head. It's coming to a climax. And so Christ begins his public ministry. He begins to declare who he is and why he had come. So now when the Messiah shows up and he begins to tell this, that kingdom that God promised that would come from heaven to earth and that would depose of Satan's kingdom on this earth, now it's a genuine possibility. Now this kingdom from God could now be described as being at hand. All right? You know what it means if something's at hand. What does that mean? It means it's what? near. Right, it's right there. It's within your grasp. It's at hand. It's near. So the gospel, by the way, what do we call Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? We call those the four gospels. The gospel accounts of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John record Israel's Messiah, Jesus Christ, announcing to Israel that God's kingdom purposes for them was now at hand. Those 490 years, most of them have been fulfilled now. The prophecy of Daniel. And you remember all the things. God was going to bring it to a climax there at the end of the 490 years, and it would end with his kingdom being established. And so now he begins to declare that the Messiah says that his kingdom purposes are now at hand. Let me show you something. Go to Matthew chapter 3 and look at verse number 2. John the Baptist is the forerunner of Christ. He preaches to the nation of Israel, and notice what he preaches in verse 2. It says that, verse 1 says, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye. He tells Israel to repent. Remember, they were cold-hearted as a nation. They were just very stiff-necked, just had been just totally, disobedient to God. He says, repent ye. Why? For the kingdom of heaven. That kingdom that would come from heaven that he's promised you, that kingdom is now what, church? At hand. Go over to Matthew 4, chapter 4, verse 17. Now we have Christ beginning his public ministry. Christ comes along, and look what he says, Matthew 4, 17. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent. Why? For the kingdom of heaven is what? At hand. Okay, you all know what. How many disciples did he call? The ones that would be closest to him. How many? 12. What message would they have as they went out to Israel? Go to Matthew 10. Let me show you. Matthew chapter 10. You think the message that he sent them out to preach? You think he sent them out to say, hey, I want you to go out to Israel and I want you to tell them that I'm going to die on the cross and I'm going to rise from the dead. You think that's what he told him to say? No, he did not. Look what he told him to say. Matthew 10, verse 7. He said, verse 6, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is what? Question, what did John the Baptist, Jesus, and the 12 all preach? They preach the kingdom, right? The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Is that what we preach today? No. So we see right off there's a difference here. Why was he preaching that? Well, because you saw the 490 years were coming to a close. The Messiah showed up. That's why the 490 years were winding down. The Messiah is born in Bethlehem. And at 30 years old, he's now begun his public ministry. It's getting close now. I mean, we're at what? Out of the 490 years, we're at about year 480 right now. You know? So, I'm sorry, 490. So, I mean, it is getting really... No. Hold on. 480, right? 480. Yeah. Right. Somewhere in there. All right. So the years now are getting close. You're my math major over there. Can you help me? All right. So, it's getting close. It's getting really, really close to this prophetic thing that Daniel said was going to happen. Christ knows it. Israel should know it. Satan knows it. The demons know it. You know, they know. So Christ goes out to Israel, and he begins to explain to them what to expect and how to prepare for the final days of the prophetic plan to be fulfilled. Christ explains to Israel in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he's going to explain to them how they can be the blessing to all nations that God had intended for them to be. You remember what he told them? Go back real quick to Matthew. Let me show you something here. Go back to Matthew 5. And what was Israel supposed to be to the nations? Well, they were supposed to be a light. Look at verse 14. He tells, now remember, he's ministering to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And notice God's plan, verse 14, Matthew 5, 14. Ye, talking to Israel, you are the what? You're the light of the world. You are the light of the world. Verse 16. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Think not that I'm come to destroy the law. It's about Moses' law. Or the prophets. I didn't come to destroy the law or the prophets. He's building on it. He's not destroying it. I am not come to destroy it. I've come to fulfill it. I'm fulfilling prophecy, is what he's saying, Pastor Shannon. I'm fulfilling prophecy. I came to fulfill the law. I came to fulfill it, not to do away with it. He said, verse 18, for verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. Christ is coming to Israel. He's trying to teach them and equip them and prepare them and make them ready to be the blessing and the light to the nations that God had always intended for them to be. Now, here's what I want to get to. One of the biggest mistakes that people make, all right, is when they go to Christ's earthly ministry, which is recorded in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and they go to Christ's earthly ministry thinking that that is going to give them doctrine for the body of Christ today. Big mistake. They assume that these books are directed to the body of Christ because the Bible Index classifies them as New Testament. Now, we've been through this, and we know that a testament cannot be a testament until the blood of the testator, right? So we know that the New Testament really could not begin until the death of Christ on the cross. All right, which means that most of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John fall under the Old Testament, which matches exactly what you read, right? Because Jesus is telling them, go show yourself to the priest. He's telling them to keep the law of Moses, and he's keeping the law, and they're keeping the feast days and the Passover and all these things. So we understand most of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are going to fall under the Old Testament. Of course, then he gives his life and he sheds his blood. You can't have a New Testament until that blood is shed. But people read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and because their Bible Index says New Testament, okay, Matthew 1:1, here we go. Now he's talking to the church. He's talking to people today now. Now, if you read it, it's very clear from the context that's not at all the case. He's not talking to Gentiles in the church age. He's not talking to the church, the body of Christ. Clearly, we know he's ministering to the nation of Israel. He's, like we said, preparing and equipping them for those last years of Daniel's 70 weeks. He's getting them ready for that and getting them ready for that kingdom. The Messiah, he's shown up. He's ministering to Israel, getting them ready. That's so clear from the context, but yet people still make that mistake. Now, let me just say this to you, all right? And I want to balance that out by saying this. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, when you read those books, it's a tremendous blessing to read of Christ's earthly ministry, to see his love for needy people. It's such a blessing to witness and to see his sinless life, to see his great wisdom exemplified in different and various situations. And there is so much to learn. I personally have been going through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John just for my own personal enjoyment, for my daily reading. I've enjoyed it so much. I've been doing that, you know, in January and here up into February, and I've almost gotten through all four of them, just taking my time and reading and looking at it. It's a blessing to read of that. So much you can learn, so many wonderful applications that the Holy Spirit can make to your life. And of course, the most blessed part of reading the Gospels is reading of our Savior's sacrificial death, reading of his glorious resurrection, which we know provides eternal life for us. And I, for one, I don't know about you, but when I'm reading of his crucifixion and I'm reading of all that what they did to him, if I'm yielded to the Holy Spirit at all, buddy, I'm going to tell you something. That ought to move you. That ought to move you when you read about what Christ went through for you and I. It ought to move your heart. Listen, I don't care how long you've been saved, you ought to never get over that. what he has done for you. So, I mean, you know, I hope you understand what I'm saying. It's a tremendous blessing to read those books and to read of his earthly ministry. But you got to understand the purpose of Christ's earthly ministry. There is a purpose. Would you guys agree with me? God does everything with a purpose. Amen? And so there is a reason why that he did have an earthly ministry. And it's very clear from the testimony of Scripture what the purpose was. It's very, very clear. And we've talked about this. He didn't come, for all the different reasons that you hear about. He tells you very clearly why he came. He said, this is a comment that Christ made. He said to a woman that had come to him, he said, I am not sent. We're going to look at this here in a minute. But he said, I am not sent. Hear those words now. I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Does that surprise some of you that that's in there? It is in there. I'm not making that up. It's there. He said, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So let me ask you something. That right there, he tells you the purpose why he came. He came to minister to who? His people Israel, right? He was a Jew, born a Jew. In fact, the Gospels open up. We saw John the Baptist is preaching to Israel, telling them to repent. Then you got Christ. He's born a Jew, full-blooded Jew. He's born a Jew in Bethlehem. They take him to Jerusalem. He goes into the temple. He's circumcised the eighth day, according to the Mosaic law. He is said to save his people from their sins. Right? Matthew 1:21. He came to save his people. By the way, who were his people? Israel, clearly. Right. In fact, what about the 12? When he sends them out, look at Matthew chapter 10. Let me show you something there. Go over to Matthew 10. All right? And look at verse number 5. Matthew 10:5. It says, these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, now look at this command. This is a command. Go not into the way of the who? Gentiles. And into any of the city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to who? Lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And what were the signs that the kingdom was at hand? Well, you look at verse 8, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils, freely ye have received, freely give. These would be, if a Jew really knew his Bible and knew what he was looking for, he would see these signs and know that the kingdom is at hand. These are signs that our kingdom is at hand. So the 12 are sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Some of you in your mind, you think, okay, Matthew 1:1, New Testament opens up. You've got Jesus Christ starting his ministry. He's getting the 12, and he's sending them out to the nations. Is that true or false? False. They confined their ministry to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, we know why. It's because God's plan was that when Israel was redeemed, that then they would then be a source of light and blessing and knowledge to all the nations. They would first be redeemed. After they're redeemed, they would then be priests on the earth, and they would then send that message and that knowledge and that light and that blessing out to all the other nations. Israel had to be first redeemed. That was the prophetic order. So Christ said, in fact, go to Matthew real quick, chapter number 15. All right, go there, Matthew 15. This will illustrate here the plan. What's going on here? Look at Matthew 15, 22. All right, this will help you so much when you study. I hope it will. Look at verse 22. It says, and behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. All right, so this woman comes, wants help. She's a Gentile. He doesn't answer her a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, "Send her away, for she crieth after us." But he answered and said, "I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Then came she and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, help me." But he answered and said, "Is it not me?" He said, "It's not fit. It's not the plan to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs." That dogs was just a term they used for Gentiles. And this, that wasn't like what we think of today. Verse 27, and she said, "Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table." Then Jesus answered and said unto her, "O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee as thou wilt." And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Now that's an interesting passage, because you have this woman coming to Christ, who's a Gentile. She approaches Christ, and he tells her, "No, that this isn't appropriate. I'm sent only to Israel. They have to be converted. The blessing will go from them to you." She recognizes the program. She recognizes the distinction. She recognizes the program of God. You saw that in her words. She recognizes the program and submits to it. And then Christ honors her understanding and her faith. You see, God's always had a provision for Gentiles to be able to be saved. In fact, he instructed Israel of this, that if a Gentile was to put their faith in the God of Israel, they would find shelter under the wings of Israel and in Israel's God, and Israel was to take them in as what the Bible calls a proselyte into their faith, into Judaism. And so there was a provision there, but a Gentile could not just go straight to God. They went through Israel. You remember what he told the woman at the well? Jesus said salvation is of the Jews. You see, Gentiles, in order to be saved in time past, there was a distinction. There was a wall of separation. Now, they would have to come under the wings of the nation of Israel, and this woman does this. There is understanding on her part of what the program is, and then she places her faith in that, and she submits to that, and then Christ honors her faith. Let me ask you something. Is that the way things would happen in this time period today? No. No, that is not what we, that's not at all what would happen today. That's why I want you to see, when you read your Bible, you've got to rightly divide it, and you have to draw those distinctions there. You say, "Well, Pastor Dan, what's going on then in the Gospels? What's going on in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? I just thought Christ came, started his ministry, just went out preaching to all the nations, and then sent the 12 out to all the nations, and then, you know, we're here." And I just thought that's what happened. And now you're telling me, no, that he confined his ministry to Israel and told the 12 to do the same thing. Correct. So what's going on in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Here's what's going on. The gospel accounts, as we said, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that's what your Bible calls the New Testament scriptures. So then, like we said, there's this assumption that's made that they, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, are describing the details of God's new program with us Gentiles. And as we've seen, that's not the case at all. Three important things are happening simultaneously in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. If you get this down, it will make your study of these books so much more blessing and so much more fruitful. Three things are going on in the Gospels. Number one, Christ is calling his people Israel to repentance. He's calling them to repentance. Number two, Christ is preparing the little flock of believing Israel. There was a remnant of believers that believed in Christ. They believed in that the kingdom was at hand. They believed that he was the Messiah and all that. He called them the little flock. So Christ is preparing the little flock of believing Israel for the future time of wrath that God's going to bring Remember that 70th week of Daniel? That last 7 years would be a time of wrath and judgment on the earth. He's preparing them for those 7 years of tribulation. So he's getting them ready. He's preparing them. And he's also preparing them for their kingdom that's about to come to the earth. So certain parts of the Gospels are dealing with the future kingdom on earth and explaining that and how Israel's going to function as a kingdom of priests on the earth. Some of it's dealing with that 70th week of Daniel, and he's preparing them for that. Go real quickly to Luke chapter 12. Let me show you something there. Luke chapter 12. All right, Luke 12. All right, look at verse 32. Luke 12, 32. He says, fear not, and then notice, who's he talking to there? Fear not what? This is the little flock, the remnant of believers. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the what? Kingdom. Now, all through, we'll just look at this chapter, but all of, you can look through all of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and see this. He's preparing them for that. He's preparing them for the coming time of wrath that's going to precede the kingdom. In fact, look back at verse 4. He says there, Luke 12 and verse 4. And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that can kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. See, he's preparing them for that time of wrath and judgment where their faith's going to be tested greatly. Look at verse 15. He says, and he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Look down at verse 50. Let's go to verse 33. Verse 33. What's the command there? In light of the fact that their kingdom is about to come, in light of the fact that the Antichrist and that time of wrath's coming, he tells them in verse 33, what? Sell that ye have. Sell it. Give alms. Give it away. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. Let me ask you something. Do you think that a charlatan, do you think that a religious imposter, do you think that it's ever happened where someone like that has taken a verse like that and told their followers, you need to sell everything you have and give it to the church? See how they take it out of context? He's talking to the little flock that he's going to give the kingdom to. And in view of the fact that they're going to be going through that time of wrath before the kingdom comes, sell. All it's going to do is weight you down. Get rid of it. Divest yourself of your assets. Because over in the kingdom, they're going to receive back 100-fold what they gave away once the kingdom comes. So give it away. Get rid of it. It's just going to weight you down. Look at verse 51. He says, suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth, I tell you nay, but rather division. Notice how he's getting them ready here. He says, for from henceforth there shall be five in one house divided, three against two and two against three. The father shall be divided against the son against the father, the mother against the daughter against the mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Hey, you know what? Somebody could take that out of context and say, I've got every good reason for hating my mother-in-law, amen? Jesus told me to hate my mother-in-law, amen? You know what I'm saying. I mean, you can take verses out of context. There's a context to this stuff. So Christ is preparing the little flock for what's ahead. Now, there's a third thing going on in the Gospels. You say a third thing. I already forgot the first one. All right, the first one was Christ is calling his people Israel to what? Repent. Then he's preparing the little flock of believing Israel for the future time of wrath and the kingdom that's about to come. Number three, Christ is preparing to offer himself as a sacrifice for sin. Now, while we today can clearly look back and see that, do you think those that were living during the time period of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, do you think they understood the necessity of Christ's death? See, you sometimes get the idea, well, the 12 are going out preaching the death, burial, and resurrection, just like we do, telling people to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. No, we just saw they're preaching the kingdom's at hand. That was the good news, the gospel, the good news of the kingdom, which meant the Messiah's here, which meant he's the Messiah. You need to put your faith in him because he's the Messiah and the kingdom's at hand. That's what they're preaching. Now, the death, burial, and resurrection, we know had to happen. We know what a blessing it is. But the people in that time period, not only did they not preach it, they didn't even get it. I want you to go to Luke 18, Luke chapter 18, all right? Look at this, Luke 18. Luke 18, 31. It says, then he took unto him the 12. Now, if anybody's going to get it, they're going to get it, right? He took unto him the 12, said unto them, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles and shall be mocked and spitefully entreated and spitted on. And they shall scourge him and put him to death. And the third day he shall rise again. And they understood what? None of these things. And this saying was hid from them. Neither knew they the things which were spoken. They did not get it. They did not get it. You see, in the Gospels, Israel's Messiah, they're looking for a conquering king. They're looking for him to demolish that evil Roman Empire and reestablish Israel's kingdom, the Davidic throne. That's what they're looking for. In the Gospels, Christ is, like I said, there's several things going on here. He's preparing himself, and he's preparing his people Israel to defeat and depose the prince of this world and establish the kingdom of heaven on earth. So what's going on today? Today, can y'all talk to me? We live in the dispensation of what?
Grace.
In fact, Paul called it the dispensation of grace for you Gentiles. One of the biggest mistakes that people make is when they read what God's doing today back into Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You read all your knowledge that didn't come for years later until Paul got saved, but you read all that knowledge, you try to read that back into the Gospels and make all that fit what Paul told Gentiles for today. Big mistake. God saved Paul in Acts 9, raised him up to be the apostle of the Gentiles. He didn't use Peter, James, John, any of the 12. He made a surprise appearance, saves Paul, raises him up as a separate apostle from the 12. He only spends a few days in Jerusalem during his first 17 years he's saved. He doesn't get discipled and trained under Peter, James, and John. Christ himself disciples Paul. Christ himself gives a series of revelations to Paul. Paul then says, I am the apostle of the Gentiles. It was revealed to Paul that God was going to suspend his national kingdom program with Israel, and he would usher in a time period called the dispensation of the grace of God. If you'll look at this chart, this will kind of help you to see it here, is that, look back here. We've got the Old Testament here where the kingdom was prophesied that the Davidic throne would be reestablished on the earth forever. And that there would be a Messiah that would sit on that Davidic throne and would rule and reign over the earth. And Israel would be a kingdom of priests forever. That was prophesied. Well, the 490 years now, we're well into it now. The kingdom is now declared at hand. We're getting near the end of the 490 years when Christ comes on the scene. So now the kingdom is declared to be near. The Messiah is here. So Jesus and the 12 declare the kingdom at hand. Well, we know that Israel rejected it. We know that the Holy Spirit comes. They're given another chance in Acts 1 through 7. Again, the kingdom is offered and rejected. Well, what was going to happen prophetically is Daniel's 70th week would commence. God would make Israel willing in the day of his power. It's called the time of Jacob's trouble. The kingdom again would be declared at hand, but a time of wrath and tribulation would come, and then Christ would return to the earth. And he would establish that kingdom on the earth, And the 12 would sit on 12 thrones with Jesus Christ over the 12 tribes of Israel. Well, what they did not know, and God kept secret, the Bible says, God kept it hidden, is that God would save Paul and would reveal to him a grace time period in which this whole kingdom program would be postponed. It would be suspended. And God would form a brand new organism. We talked about that this morning. He'd form a brand new creation called the church, the body of Christ. And it would be composed of mainly Gentiles. Really, and this is kind of where it gets tricky. Really, technically, everyone is viewed as a Gentile today. Gentiles were cut off. Israel was cut off, just like the Gentiles. Both were declared to be in unbelief. And so, if someone from Israel wants to get saved today, do they have to get saved like a Gentile? Yes, they got to get saved just like us. And so God is forming this new organism today called the body of Christ. Question, do we replace Israel? No. We're something separate and distinct from Israel. Let me ask you this. Is God done and through with Israel forever, or is God going to keep his promises to them? Oh, yeah, he will. Will Daniel's 70th week still happen? Yes. That's why I showed you on that other chart, this parentheses where we're living, it was unprophesied. Nobody knew about it. God kept it a secret. He kept it hidden, and then God revealed that. The Apostle Paul was the instrument that God revealed the grace period to. So if you can kind of get the picture, literally from the time this time period has commenced, we've literally been living on the precipice of the time in which God would bring his wrath to this earth. What I'm trying to say is any moment this grace period could end and the time of wrath could begin. We have literally been living right there on the verge of that for this whole time period of grace over the last 2,000 years. Are we promised how long this time period will last? We are not. We don't know. Now, what happens when you don't get this? Well, the main thing is it creates a lot of confusion. Be honest. How many of y'all have ever read something in the Gospels, you know, and you just scratched your head and thought, I don't get that, you know? I don't understand that. Why would he tell me to pluck my eye out? You know, cut my hand off. You know, and why would he tell me to sell everything I have and give it away? I mean, on and on and on I could go, you know, with illustrations. Why is it that he says keep the law? Paul over here says I'm not under the law, but Jesus said if you want to be great in the kingdom, you keep all these law commandments. You know, and I mean, I could go on. You read that, and you just scratch your head. Well, confusion, right? Well, when you get this, and you understand that we are living in a time of grace. We are living not in the prophetic program. We're not in, are we living in Daniel's 70th week, in any of the 70 weeks? Are we living in them? We're not in any of the 70 weeks. See? That 70th week still awaits its fulfillment, and that's going to be right here. See the 7 years? That's that last week of years. Daniel's 70th week still awaits its fulfillment. God is simply giving a grace period before that starts. Many Gentiles that are living today under the dispensation of grace, they go back to Christ's earthly ministry to Israel. They try to follow all the instructions and practices that he gave or claim the promises that he made at that time, and they end up disappointed. And it causes misunderstanding as you try to serve the Lord in things that God's not doing today and that God doesn't want done today. But in Paul's writings, in Romans through Philemon, you've got God setting forth the details of his program for today. In Paul's epistles, we find God's doctrine, God's instructions, God's injunctions, God's promises, and God's provisions for the members of his new creature, the church, the body of Christ, which pertain to his program with us today. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John While I told you, great blessing to read, and you can gain a lot, and man, the Holy Spirit can just speak to your heart on different things, you got to understand, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he's just ministering to Israel. He's preparing them for their kingdom. He's preparing them for Daniel's 70th week, and they pertain to his program with the nation of Israel in Daniel's 70 weeks. It's all a part of that. And they record the details about how God's program with them was climaxing at that time with the coming of the Messiah to deliver Israel from their lawful captivity to Satan, to establish the covenanted kingdom of heaven on the earth.